prophets are really important characters. There's a lot of a misunderstanding about prophets. Lots of people think that prophets are there to predict the future, when really that's not their role. It is in some way, I suppose, but let's unpack that a little bit at the minute. Prophets were people who were given some wisdom from God to interpret the events of the current day where they were living. Not a predictor of future events, but basically saying to people, if you do not change your ways, this is what's going to happen to you. Now, the Hebrew word for a prophet is nabi, and this literally means one who speaks or utters. But the religious interpretation of that is that it's one who speaks for God. And the Greek word prophetes means to speak in the name of another. And especially in Greek culture, this was seen as the person who was a sort of divine mouthpiece. So prophets, as we understand them, are people who are endowed with a supernatural gift of wisdom to be proclaimed in the heart of the people. They challenge current day practices and make known the consequences to the people of not changing their ways. And prophecy is a vocation given by God to specific people for a specific task. Let's look at three vocational stories about prophets. So the prophet Amos, who I think is marvellous, he's the hillbilly of Tekoa, which he came from in the southern kingdom. But he was not part of any brotherhood of prophets or a clan. He was a shepherd of sycamores, but he was called from this to preach the end of injustice to the people of the northern kingdom. And he was denounced because of his preaching. In his denouncing, God promised that what he was saying would be effected. And what he said to the people was that if you don't change your ways through this exploitation of the poor, through the way in which you are living off the fat of the land without having a sense of justice for everybody, there would be the demise of the nation. However, the book of Amos is really interesting because it's a little bit like a gospel. So if you read the ministry of Amos right up to chapter end of chapter 14, it's a bit like, for instance, reading a gospel ending with the crucifixion. But then if you read chapter 15, there's this wonderful bit about the restoration of the tottering hut of Israel, the remnant that would remain. And this was the remnant of people who were faithful to the teaching of God, and they would be built up again, just as the resurrection changes the whole of the understanding of the first part of a gospel. So that little bit at the end changes the whole bit that we look at the prophecy of Amos. And what God does is to restore that faithful remnant because of their fidelity, because they lived in that just way. If you look in chapter 6 of Isaiah, we see the vision of God, and he's absolutely terrified by it. And when he's called, he immediately says to God, but I can't go because I'm of unclean lips. And so God sends a seraph angel with a coal from the altar to touch his lips and to purify him. And then immediately God says, who shall I send? And within him is that power then, because he has been cleansed, because he has seen God. He says, here I am, send me. That sense, he goes with clean lips to speak that which God gives to him, that revelatory word that brings about change in the hearts of others, or consolation to the hearts of others. Jeremiah tells God that he's too young, and yet God says he was consecrated in his mother's womb, and again he touches his lips to proclaim the mercy of God to his people. This actually with Jeremiah, which is very, very beautiful, it overwhelms him. It's as if it's like a fire burning in his bones. And he thinks that he's been deceived. He can't do it. He said, I can't do this. And yet God gives him the confidence to preach the message given to him of transformation and of the fidelity of God to his people if they change their ways. He asked not to be excused, never to speak. But in the end, God got his way with him. So we see there three vocational stories of the prophets. And the words given to each one of them are specific. If no word is given, then the prophet does not speak. And we see this in Jeremiah. He was challenged by the false prophets to give a word, and he simply walks away because he got nothing to say. But the proclaimed word will never mislead the people because it's always from God, which is a distinctive thing compared with the false prophets that were prophesying at the same time. And the prophets often performed symbolic acts to emphasize the reality of their proclaimed word. So if you look at the prophet Hosea, he was told to marry a prostitute, Gomer, to show that Israel's infidelity was still bound by God's fidelity to them. Jeremiah wandered around the streets of Jerusalem wearing a wooden yoke, showing the subjugation of the nations by the Babylonian Empire. And the gesture and the word became a powerful sign to the people to change their ways. But The main message of the prophets was a return to faithfulness and the covenant. And in doing so, they would then change the way in which they lived. And so there was a sense of a return to true religion and faith, which would lead to a change in the morality of their lives. Recognition of God and walking in his ways, becoming holy, leading to love shown in justice and in mercy. And the prophet Micah tells the people that what the Lord asks of you is to act justly, to love tenderly, and to walk humbly with God. Faithful living always leads to good moral living, which leads to life. So the consequence is that the day of the Lord, which will come, will be a day of judgment, but it's a merciful judgment, because what God will do is to punish those who are guilty, but he will fulfill his promises as well. And so the great promise to the people of Israel is the promise given to Abraham, that their descendants will be as great as the number of the stars in the heaven and as the grains of sand on the seashore. And what they yearn for is the stability of life that God will give to his people, that they will become a great nation. God will judge justly and mercifully and create a kingdom for his people to dwell in, and they will live in faithfulness to the covenant, but also live in a just way and have that sense of moral life as well. So as we go through the summer, we'll hear the prophets time and time again, and the listening to their words, they can be quite difficult to understand. But if you keep in the back of your mind that they're given a specific word by God to preach to the people, so that the people will return to that faithfulness to the covenant and then adapt their way of living so that they, as the prophet Micah says, act justly, love mercifully or tenderly, and walk humbly with God, then that leads to the fullness of life.